to the opera, to one of the world's best-known operettas, The Merry Widow. The Quebec Opera is staging Franz Lehár's La Veuve Joyeuse, or in English, The Merry Widow. Performances begin Saturday with shows next week on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And we have tickets to give away to opening night, so to Saturday the 18th. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Leading lady, soprano Leslie Ann Bradley, came by our studio earlier today. She plays Missia Palmieri in the Quebec City production of this opera classic, and we're going to hear from her in a moment. First, some well-known music from a Berlin production of The Merry Widow. Hi, Leslie. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
When I think of the da-na-na-na-na-na, I immediately want to sing Happy Birthday. Do you know that? Happy Birthday. Did you grow up with Sharon Lois and Bram?
It was like Sharon Lois and Bram.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that.
When I was listening, knowing you were coming in, like right away I started singing Happy Birthday. Now everyone's going to think of it if they are familiar with that Happy Birthday
song.
So it's such a well-known piece of music. What's it like performing something that, I mean, if I was sitting in the audience, I would start thinking of that in my head perhaps. But people, you know, have a relationship with that piece of music for whatever other reason as well. And here you are interpreting it on stage. What do you try to bring to it to make it your own?
It's funny because I think at that point in the opera, there's been so much up and down. It's been so busy. There's been so many mixed emotions. And that is really the point where my character and Danilo finally reconcile, and it's clear that they love each other. So it's that resting moment that that beautiful tune appears. And we're very aware that it's our moment as our characters, but it's really the audience has been waiting for that. It's really the last major tune of the show. And it's a moment that you're very aware is being shared in a big, in the whole theater, because it's that moment that everybody just wants to sing along to. So it's a really special moment. It's that everything where everything comes together, and there's that, yeah, it's hard to describe. It's that happy ending just from that very beautiful, beautiful music that arrives. So I try and just be very, I try not to think too much and just sing it from the heart.
Tell us about Misia Palmieri.
Okay, so my character in this version is an American. She was an orphan raised in Marsovia, which is where this fake country where this takes place. And she falls in love with a man named Danilo. One day, because she's this poor, poor orphan girl, one day he just takes off and she doesn't really know why. She figures it's because, you know, she was too poor and not good enough in the eyes of his family. So anyways, all these years later, all these characters meet in Paris. What a great place to meet. And at the embassy, the Marsovian embassy. Except this time when I arrive, I'm no longer the poor orphan girl. I am a very rich recent widow of the court banker. And I'm worth about 50 million, which at that time, I think at this time and day and age, it would sort of be billions. It also happens to be the entire amount of money in the country that I now have.
You are a valuable commodity.
I am a valuable commodity. So that, and that's how it happened. So all the ambassadors are, you know, desperate for me to remarry somebody who's Marsovian, because if I don't, and then I take my money away from that bank, then the whole country goes bankrupt. And so this is the plan. Meanwhile, I think I am there also to come face to face again with this man that I loved from so many years ago, and see what happens, see how he really feels. Except for also this time, I'm no longer the poor orphan girl. I'm the lady with all the power. So it's a real, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's that we just play on that.
I can just imagine your costumes. If
they're
you're playing
lovely.
This, you know, woman with money and who has made a transformation in her life from someone who didn't have money, they must be pretty extravagant.
There's a lot of sparkle.
Is this an opera that you ever performed in before?
I've done the English version, The Merry Widow, and then I've done this French version in a sort of a gala event here in Quebec, actually. But this is my first full-scale French production of it.
What's it like for you singing in French?
I love singing in French. If I had to pick my two favorite things in the world, is singing Mozart and singing in French. So it's heaven. It's really well written for the voice. It's beautiful lines. It's wonderful words. So it's heaven, really.
It's interesting to hear you describe it that way, because you're someone who sings in so many different languages. Mm-hmm. I think probably Italian, mm-hmm. German, English, French. Mm-hmm. And French really does stand out for you as this language that resonates in the opera form.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it works so well with the voice. I think, I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't really know why. But it's just the beauty of a language, really, I think. And then you add beautiful music to the beauty of a language and presto, there's your recipe for a great sing.
On your website, Leslie, you describe yourself as a Francophile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this shouldn't come as a surprise that you love singing in French, but can you tell us more about that? Why Leslie Ann Bradley is a Francophile?
Well, I moved to Montreal in 2003 to study with a teacher named Marie Davalouis. And I think that's really where it began, because when I moved, I didn't know anybody who was English speaking. I knew solely Francophone people. And so it was just this wonderful immersion into a language and a culture. And I think it was the language. I wanted to learn the language because I love languages, but also just the simple differences of how people run their days or see things from a different perspective. So I remember one of my first, after a voice lesson one day, the pianist I was working with, we went out for coffee, and just the simple pleasures of having a coffee on a terrace in a beautiful city and, you know, learning a language through the culture itself.
So really, you didn't speak French before that?
No, I didn't.
At all?
No. I mean, I spoke sort of like high school French, right. Like où est la bibliothèque, but, you know, that was about, that was about the extent of it. So it was really, I have to say, this pianist friend of mine named Denise, she was wonderful. She said, okay, you want to learn French? Here's what you're going to do. You're not going to speak it until I tell you you can speak it, because you're just going to make mistakes. You listen to me and I'll tell you when you can start speaking back French to me. So for about a month, 6 weeks, we would just hang out together and she would speak exclusively French. I would speak exclusively English. And after, you know, after that time, I started to phrase by phrase start to use things. And that was really the beginning of it. It was wonderful because then it became fun. It wasn't scary. I also set this goal for myself to learn a new word or a new phrase each day. So, and I'm kind of shy by nature. So I thought, okay, I'll make it into a game. The game was called Pretend You're French. And I would go out and I would go shopping for something or go do an errand. And I would, the object of the game was to see how far I could get before they would realize I was an English speaker.
And what was the success rate of that experiment?
Well, the trick is to kind of, if you don't understand, is to kind of give them the look like, well, they must have made a mistake if I'm not understanding. I would say it was a pretty high success rate. And the better I got at it, the more fun it was and the further I would take it. But I mean, there were times where I was just like, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're saying. But, you know, over the years, it got easier and it was fun. It really was a pleasure to learn. So I have to say, yeah, I guess I'm a Francophile because I think the language is gorgeous. I really am grateful for what I learned from the Francophone people that I knew in Montreal that added so much to my life from an artistic perspective, from a cultural perspective. It has informed the person who I am today, and opened me up to a bigger, more wonderful world.
Can you pick us a song? I know we don't have a recording of you performing, but can you pick us a song from this production that we can end on?
As the soprano of the show, I think I will have to say the Velia lead would be my pick. It's so beautiful, and it's a pleasure to sing it. So this is my big major aria in this piece. So the first act is kind of drama-rama on the heartstrings theme, where we're all at the embassy. But the second act, we open it at my house in Paris, and I'm putting on this huge party to celebrate the Prince of Marsovia's birthday. I've invited everybody over, and they're all in Marsovian costumes, and everybody's just in that vibe. And then I sing this very famous song that everybody knows the story, but it's this enchanting music, and I sing of this Velia who seduces this hunter, and then she leaves him in the end. So it's a great piece.
Leslie, thank you for coming in and telling us about the show, and enjoy your stay. Bienvenue à Québec.
Merci.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's soprano Leslie Ann Bradley. She's originally from Port Perry, Ontario, and now based in New York City. As we heard, spent time living in this province too, and she is back in the province on stage as Missia Palmieri in the Quebec City production of Franz Lahar's La Veuve Joyeuse, The Merry Widow. Stéphane Laforêt is the conductor with director François Racine.